All right. Well, good evening, everybody. Go ahead and have a seat. I want to welcome you to our family meeting tonight. And hey, if you are, man, that song just reminded me as we sang that together. If you are thankful tonight to be part of the family of God, would you just praise the Lord and let Him know what a joy it is? Welcome to our family meeting, we call it. We do this about four times a year, and you know, healthy families need to communicate. And husbands, I'll give you a little tip. One of the greatest things I've learned about marriage, three things that bring about a healthy marriage. Ready? Communication, communication, and communication, right? You got those, you got a healthy marriage. So the same is true in a church family. So tonight, we've come together just to kind of let our hair down, and we're going to share some things with you. We're going to communicate some things that we want you to know, and we're going to celebrate some things that God's doing in the life of our church. And then when we're all finished here in a little bit, we're going to have some time just to hang around together and to connect. You know, Sunday mornings can be such a busy time of kind of in and out. There's so many people around. Tonight, we'll give you an opportunity to maybe connect with somebody you haven't in a while or meet somebody new. But man, we've got a lot to celebrate tonight, a lot going on. So let me kind of get us going. I'm going to pray for us here in just a second. But let me begin by sharing a quick word of scripture with you, all right? And then this is going to kind of lead into a couple things I want to say. And then we're going to celebrate some things as a church family. Ephesians 3:20. A verse that I would imagine a lot of you have memorized. If you haven't, maybe your kids have it memorized. But the Bible says this, Paul talking in context of the church family. He says, now to him, it's Jesus, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. God is able to do more than we can ever even think. He's able to do more than we can ever even ask. Can you imagine that? You say, well, I can dream up quite a bit. I can think quite a bit. God can do more. He is able to do more than we can even ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And the us there is kind of plural. It's the idea of the family of God. Yes, we're individually filled with the Spirit of God, but man, collectively, the church, there's power in the family of God. According to the power that works within us. Now listen to this. Next verse, verse 21. To him, Jesus, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Man, it's an incredible passage. So I was kind of reading that passage and meditating on that a little bit and thinking through that. I asked myself the question, how is Jesus glorified in his church? You ever just thought about that? I mean, this says that it's a prayer of Paul that Jesus would be glorified in his church. That's us, right? The family. It's kind of here tonight, the body of believers. You know, for us, I was thinking Jesus is glorified when we as a family, when we abide in him. Man, when we recognize the most important thing in our lives, and you hear us talk about this a lot. We champion this because we believe this. The most important thing in our lives is that abiding, dynamic relationship with Jesus. We want to focus on that. We don't want to be distracted from that. Jesus is glorified, I think, when the church loves each other. When we focus on our groups and when we're in community with each other and we're speaking into each other's lives and we're meeting needs and, man, we're having those conversations around Scripture and we're learning truth together. I think that honors the Lord. It seems as the overflow of those things as we honor him, love each other. Then there's the overflow into mission, right? I mean, Jesus, he's given us a mission. The church is the only organization in the world that does not exist for itself. We exist. God's given us a mission out there. And that's the overflow as we pursue these things. So as your pastor and one of your elders, and somebody who loves you dearly and loves this church dearly, those are the things that we want you to know, no matter what, that we're going to focus on. We want you to focus on that relationship with Christ, your relationship with each other, and then the spillover of that into our community. We have a mission. We get to be a part of something that's bigger than we are. Now, as we kind of talked about in the message this morning, remember how Jesus was, that he had fixed his face like flint on Jerusalem. Nothing was going to distract him from Jerusalem and the cross. Here's what happens in a church from time to time. We can just get distracted. I mean, I'm the first one to admit I easily get distracted. I'm a guy, right? Guys could easily get distracted. I have young boys at my house. They easily get distracted. As a church, we can easily get distracted from the things that matter. Now, let me just have a moment of honesty with you that we all need to share and be honest together about. If you've been part of this church, some that are here tonight are new members, and you're obviously relatively new to this church. Some of you have been a part of this church for a year and a half, some of you for 5 years, and some of you from the very beginning. If you've been around for the last year, I think we could all say that we've experienced a significant season of change, right? I mean, there's been a lot of change over the last year. We know that, we feel that, you feel that in different ways. Change affects different people in different ways. Some of you, over the last few weeks, as a part of our group restructuring and the group change, some of you in this room have been part of a life group for the very first time. And you've been in a setting where you've been asked to be honest with somebody, and you've been asked tough questions. And if you were real honest now, you'd say, it's been a little different. And we believe in that. We believe the church is to have those conversations, but it's been a change for many of you. And some of you have been in a study group format, and it's not been the way that it's been for many years, and it's been different for you. Some of you are at a different campus. You come to church on Sunday morning, and you're not even here at Gray. You're in Johnson City. That's one of the things that's fun about our family meeting. We've got a lot of folks from our Johnson City campus. But if you grew up in this church, you've been a part of this church for a while, that's different. You feel that, and you feel the differences. We've had a different schedule of the way we operate, and some of the things we do look a little different. And I just want to say, as your pastor, we know that it's tough sometimes. Change can be draining of energy sometimes. Sometimes change can cause distraction. And sometimes it gets us focused on trying to manage the change instead of the things we want to be focused about, man. Our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with each other, and our relationship with those around us that don't know Christ. So what we're significantly trying to do is we're trying to minimize the distractions as best we can. We want you to partner in that. We're trying to minimize those distractions so that we're not focusing energy on things that don't matter. And we as a church, what Jesus said, there's a power within us. When the church is together and the church is united and the church is focused on things that matter, there is a power within us, the Spirit of God, that can do far beyond anything that we can think or ask. I want to be a part of a church like that, don't you? That man, Jesus is being glorified. We are abiding in Him. We are loving one another. And man, we're a part of something bigger than us, this mission. So we're trying to recognize, man, it's been a season of change. We know that. And some of you have felt it more than others. I mean, we want to try to minimize those as best we can and focus ourselves as a church on the things that matter. And we want to invite you to be a part of focusing on the things that matter most. Now, one of the things that's very important, I'll say this, and then we're going to move on to something else, but anytime you go through a season of significant change, guess what is really important? Ready? Communication. One of the reasons we have these family meetings is so that we can get together and do everything we can as your leaders to communicate. Sometimes in the season of change, things can be misinterpreted or misunderstood or taken the wrong way. And we want you to know you have an absolute open door to come to any of your leaders at any moment and ask questions. I had an interesting encounter just this past Wednesday night with an active member of our church, and he had heard something that troubled him, and he was bothered by something, and he did the right thing. He comes straight to me. He said, man, I just need to ask you about this in a great spirit. And I was able to say, you know what? That's just not true at all. That's not what's happening. That's not the plan. He said, I didn't think so. Just want to talk to you. And man, it was very healthy. You as a church have an open door to your leaders at any time. We're going to have some time when this service is over. Our elders will be here. Our different leaders will be here just for you to go and just spend some time together. So church, I love you. Man, I believe Ephesians 3:20, there is a power within the body of Christ when we focus on what matters that can absolutely change the world. And I want to be a part of a church like that with you as the body of Christ. All right? So what we're going to do now is we're going to celebrate some things together. I want you to know what God is doing in the lives of some of your fellow brothers and sisters here. So here's what we're going to do. In just a second, I'm going to invite you to stand up and take a minute or two and greet one another, love on each other a little bit as the body of Christ. And while that's going on, I know there's several people who have already come in ready to give your testimony tonight. And while the church is shaking hands, greeting one another, I'll invite you to come on down and sit on these front two rows. If you're one of those that's going to be giving your testimony, the mic is down here, and then we'll just go one by one, and you can share with your church body what God is doing in your life, all right? So right now, let's take a second. Let me invite you to stand to your feet, roam around, greet each other for a minute, and then we'll continue in just a second. Good to see the church enjoying each other. I love it. All right, enough fellowshipping. Stop. Just kidding. All right, if you'll go ahead and move on back to your seat, we're going to continue. And one of the great things about a church body is just to hear how God is moving and working in the lives of each other and your brothers and sisters. And again, sometimes with our busy schedules and all we're involved in, we don't have the opportunity to do that. Sunday morning's a little bit tough to get those in sometimes. So we thought tonight it'd be neat to just have several folks that we knew God was doing some neat things come and share with you their church family. So they're going to come and introduce themselves and just share the activity of God in their lives. So Dave Henderson, why don't you come on first and take it away? And just to let these folks feel comfortable, you know, standing up in front of a group can be a little nerve-wracking. Why don't you go ahead and let this whole group know you appreciate them and you're with them. These are your brothers and sisters, all right? All right, man, take it away.
As Pastor said, I'm David Henderson. My wife, Kelly, and I have a cheering section tonight. My wife and I have the privilege and the blessing to lead a life group in Johnson City, and it is by far one of the highlights of our week, certainly. And we have a very diverse group, new believer to folks that have known the Lord for many, many years, folks from the Johnson City campus, folks from the Gray campus. But we've had an amazing opportunity to share with each other what God has been doing in our lives. And it's been amazing to see how God has put together a group of people, very diverse, but going through a lot of similar struggles. And we've been able, as a group, to be able to share with each other, to pray with each other, to encourage each other. And that's been a huge blessing for us. So.
Hello, my name is Thad Slaughter. I'm a student leader here at Tri-C's with the high school. First of all, I want to thank God for the opportunity to serve in the student ministry. He has blessed me far beyond what I could imagine. And although I could tell a lot of stories about how God has moved through impact in the student ministry, I want to share just a few. The first one is a young man that came to impact over the weekend of having the gospel poured into him, felt the call to go on an international mission trip. And this was a young man that's never been on a mission trip. So he talked to Paul, and Paul told him about how the youth is going to Nicaragua this summer. So now he's going with us to Nicaragua. The next young man was, I was here at Impact and out in the hallway, and he come up to me, and he was just really excited, I could tell. And he started telling me, he said, "I've made a new friend," he said, "in my community group, and it's somebody that I can really connect with." And he was just so glad that he had come to Impact. And then the last young man is a young man that made a profession of Christ at a really young age, and he just didn't really feel like he was walking on his faith like he should. And on the last morning of Impact, during the preaching, while he was sitting there, he realized for the very first time he truly understood the gospel. So he went forward and accepted Christ and got baptized a few weeks later. And it's just awesome just to see how God works through Impact, and how he takes, you know, the students being a little out of their comfort zone, you know, away from worldly distractions and in a community of believers, and how he uses that to draw them to himself. And then the pouring of the word and the gospel in them, you know, he saves some, sends some on the mission field. And also, we'd just like to thank anyone who's just involved at all with Impact that, you know, in any capacity, without you all, there would be no Impact. And that gives God an opportunity to move. Thank you.
My name's Jamie, and I've been going to Tri-Cities for about a year and a half since I moved to Tennessee. I just recently got to go on a mission trip to Honduras. It's my first mission trip out of the country. And before then, I never thought I'd ever step foot on a plane or go to another country. And getting there, and we did a clothes ministry. We got to feed a community. We got to go door-to-door, and just having the opportunity to actually meet people that didn't live around me or didn't live here and see how they lived. And they were just so welcoming, and they wanted to hear about God, and they were just hungry for God. And you don't see that all the time. And it was just an amazing experience to know how happy they were with how they lived on a daily basis, how, I mean, one person would have a Bible and they'd be sharing it with multiple people, and how when you get back to the States, it's like you turn around and you see everybody have a Bible and everybody have the opportunity to hear about God. And just having that experience and coming back here and just seeing how God works in everybody's life, and just knowing that God took me to another country to open my eyes and see how blessed I am to have the community that I have and the church that I have. And that's it.
Good evening. My name is Dustin Jackson. I've been attending Tri-Cities since 2010. And tonight I just want to share a little bit of a personal, I guess, health issue that I have went through over the last year. And it's probably something that maybe some of you all here tonight have actually heard yourself, or maybe even a family member. It's the dreaded word of cancer. And this word can really just paralyze us sometimes, just feels like it can suck the breath right out of us. And, you know, last July, basically, I was diagnosed with cancer here with a doctor in Johnson City. Well, during that appointment, I really don't remember a lot of what was said. I think you're just trying to take it all in. It's information overload, like, really, I have this? But I remember one thing that he did share with me at the end of our appointment. He asked, he's like, son, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And I told him, yes, confidently that I do. And he's like, well, I want to share a verse with you that I hope will comfort you along your journey while you're being healed. And that verse was Psalms 91. And for sake of time, I won't read all 16 verses, but that was really comforting to me through my entire journey of getting over this. So basically in July, just a little timeline, probably 4 to 5 months, I had surgery to remove the cancerous mass. Two cycles of chemotherapy that lasted until this past December. So until, you know, this time in my life, I'd basically never faced anything that required, I guess, God to really come in and really step in. It's always been something that I knew I could control. I could maybe do something to get through on my own. But I realized one of two things. I was either going to have to fight this on my own strength or rely on the full faith of God to basically get me through. So, you know, I turned and I just prayed to God. I said, whatever you lead me through, just help me, give me the strength to get through it. So it was a very, you know, challenging time. But yet, I think, you know, a lot of people have come up to me and say, well, 2013 was probably a really tough year for you. And I was like, well, yes, it was. It was tough, but I kind of see it in a different light, that it was probably one of the best years of my life. It really taught me lots of life lessons, basically that we're not in control of everything that we think we are, and that we need to just relinquish that and give thanks to God and just live that His mercy and His grace is sufficient. And, you know, basically, I'm just so thankful for what God has done for me this year. Coming out of that, I'm now cancer-free and recently married to the most amazing woman in the world, my wife, Allison. So, and I thank you.
My name's Jimmy Hill. My wife and family have been coming to the Tri-Cities for about 5 years now. We've enjoyed coming here. We love the church. We were looking for a church that we could call home, and this was definitely the place to be. With our work schedule, it was tough. We work every other weekend, so trying to get connected with people in the church was really tough. We don't get to see everybody every week, and made it hard on us. And we actually tried going to a Sunday school class for a while, and the structure of that particular Sunday school class kind of hurt as well, because we wasn't able to get connected with what was going on in the Sunday school class, as well as getting connected with the people. So we've just always came to church on Sunday and felt that was the right thing to do, and that's where we needed to be, and that's where God wanted us, until we started the new study groups this past winter. And spiritual disciplines is the one we started in, and I'm telling you, it's changed our lives. It's changed the lives of me and my wife, and how we talk about the Lord and talk about the things that we need to do to be good disciples for God. And it's just a blessing to us to be a part of that, and we feel like we're connected now. We're getting to meet new people, and you know, after 5 years, you'd think we'd know a lot of people in this church, but honestly, you don't when you're only here every other weekend. So it's just a great time for us, and we're really enjoying it right now. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Lexi. I'm a junior in the high school ministry. Over the past couple of years, I've been involved in the youth, and I've always loved going to Summit and just being involved in Wired as well, being a Wired head for the 7th grade girls. And when I heard about the change that we're having in the church with the life groups and Summit groups, I'm not going to lie, I was really upset, just because I did love my Summit group and loved being with the girls my age and stuff. And so God was just kind of working in my heart and just challenging me that I need to be supportive of the ministry no matter what comes. And so we had a Wired meeting one week, and Paul was really just challenging us that if we're not going to be supportive of the ministry, then why do we expect younger people to be that we're leading? And that really hit me hard. I was like, well, God, if you really want me to be supportive, just give me a good group, because there's really not group in my area. I live in Limestone, you know, I live around cows and horses, so, but, so I chose the gray group, and, I really didn't know any girls in that group. I knew Jenna, because she was my age, and then Caroline Sheffield, because she goes to my school, but that was really all. I mean, I knew Kelly, the leader, so I went reluctantly the first week, and the first week was amazing. God really just opened my eyes to girls that were going through the same struggles as me, and even leaders who had been through the same struggles that I'm going through. And it was really encouraging just to get out of my comfort zone and just let God use me and just be involved in the ministry that I didn't really want to be involved in. So,
good evening. My name's Brandon Van Hus. I lead the Awana ministry on Wednesday nights, and God's just truly blessed us in that ministry with an amazing group of leaders that truly love our kids here at Tri-Cities and have the desire to just feed them with the Word of God. It's encouraging every week to see the kids come in prepared to recite their verses, and not only recite their verses, but completely understand what they mean and being able to explain it to them. And in February, we used that month as a focus on missions, and we held a special night of a verse-a-thon where kids participated to recite as many verses as they could that night. We had 18 students participate. They recited over 200 verses that one night, and they raised almost $800 to go to Operation Mobilization. That was a great testimony to the generosity of the kids and their dedication, and the parents also. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm David Crichton, and hey, how are you? Good. I've been going here since about 2007, and I see a lot of familiar, friendly faces, and some familiar, maybe one or two unfriendly faces. But back in about December of, I guess it would be last year, I think we've been going here since 2007, I just felt sort of the urge to go to the Johnson City Church plant. I lived about 5 or 6 minutes from there, and instead of a 20-25 minute drive, I thought maybe with a 5 or 6 minute drive, I'd be able to make it to church on time. It's funny, I've learned that geography has nothing to do with punctuality, but anyway, be that as it may. And frankly, I would, Pastor Mike, when I started going, there's just sort of a desire that I can't explain, I just wanted to. I was a little bit cynical. I mean, you know, there's a lot of churches in Johnson City, and there's a lot of church plants, new church plants in Johnson City. And to quote somebody who's sitting in here, why in the world do we need another church in Johnson City? So when I started going to the church plant, I kind of had that attitude of, you know, what is this about? You know, what? Why are we planning churches when, you know, people can get in their cars and come here? But as I've continued to go and learn and hear Derek, I've learned a few things. One is, I'll give a little shout out. Derek, Mr. Sherfy here, is truly anointed. I mean, I'm telling you, he's one. And I don't want to, like, you know, I'm not the one that gives out. Just ask my family. I don't give out encouragement that much. That's just not my gift. But I mean, I'm telling you, this morning, I promise you, I felt like that for about the first half of his sermon, I was listening to like a modern day Jonathan Edwards. I mean, is that the guy? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I'm serious. Well, you were there. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was really, really good. So yeah, don't bring him back here and like send us Daniel. Right? Keep him out there. Anyway, you know, and so in our prayer too, I'll tell you, the prayer that I have for Derek is that seminary doesn't ruin him. You know, because it does ruin sometimes folks. You know, they come back and next thing you know, they're saying force the born. The other thing though I've learned is that we have, I mean, I'm noticing that you know, if all we're doing is just creating sort of a Tri-Cities church mini-me, so we say, in Johnson City, that has nothing, you know, there's nothing involving the Great Commission. It's a waste. But as I've talked to Derek and I've listened to him, you know, I'm excited because there's people there, and Derek's like this because I've sat and talked to him, that understand that, okay, we are here right by ETSU campus, and within just a few blocks, there's a tremendous number of students that need to hear the gospel. And we've got people there. If you get folks into a small church and you have a core group of people that understand and will go out and reach out to that community to evangelize, bring them in and disciple them, then you can't complain about that. I mean, that's the Great Commission. And so Derek has a heart for that. It's taken me a while. I've seen it. And there's a real opportunity, I think, for especially for international students. And we've seen that because they don't have transportation and they have to walk to church. And woe unto the one that teaches them East Tennessee driving and they have to take it back. But it's a great – sorry, I'm from West Tennessee. There's But it's a great opportunity because, you know, you can spend several thousand dollars, go to Africa for a week, and that's good. But you could also bring the people. They're coming here, and they're leaders, the ones that go to ETSU. These are leaders, you know, that their countries and parents are spending a lot of money. Bring them in, teach them Bible, teach them that, you know, get in God's word every day and pray. Take that out and go to their countries. Anyway, sorry for being more than 2 minutes. Thank you, brother.
Yep. All right. Well, I don't know how I'm going to follow that one, but we'll try. So my name is Russell, and this is my wife, Ginger, and we get to represent the seminary cohort that David was mentioning. So I guess I'll start by telling you a little bit about how we ended up in seminary. Ginger and I began to feel a restlessness 2 or 3 years ago, and just really began to feel that God was leading us into international ministry. And so we met with Pastor Mike and Jeff and expressed that. And we didn't have any idea that there would be a seminary cohort program in the works. And when there was, Jeff let us know about it, and we basically said, you know, if this comes to fruition, don't forget about us. So we met with Daniel through the formal interview process, and, you know, we let him know. Just as a backgrounder, we have a 2-year-old, she was 1 at the time, and also an 8-year-old. And I asked Daniel, I said, can we do this? And Daniel said, oh yeah, don't worry about it. People do it all the time. So, yeah, they do it, yeah. I don't know how they do it all the time, but apparently some of them do. But anyway, it was one of those scenarios when we started, it was we were excited. And for those of you who are involved in the cohort, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's just kind of a sit down and hang on kind of ride. And there's a connection, but there's also a disconnection between seminary and practical ministry. It's almost like you don't know what you don't know. And it's not there to provide all of the answers. And as David was mentioning, talking about Derek and what seminary might be doing to him, it really doesn't provide you with the answers, but it gives you that avenue where you can search for those answers. And I'll give you a practical example. One of those is we had a paper due, and, you know, it was on the image of God. And we had never really thought about that before, about what it really means to be created in the image of God. Or body, soul, and spirit. You know, is there just the body and the soul, or is there a body, soul, and a spirit? I mean, and those are, you know, it doesn't change, you know, your faith or whether you're a Christian. It just gives you that avenue to consider some things that you don't have the opportunity or even the fact that you don't know what you don't know. So it provides us with that avenue. But so far we have taken church history, Old Testament, theology, practice of evangelism, Old Testament 2. We've got a leadership field ed class right now where Daniel's provided us with 12 opportunities, everything from care and counseling sessions, you know, all the way to funerals and weddings, where we just get to observe every aspect of church ministry. We'll eventually take hermeneutics. And it's tough. It's grueling. And, you know, we expected it to be one of those where you're involved in something and it's just kind of cool. It's just kind of a good opportunity. And when we jumped in, it's a full-scale, full-time program. I mean, it is... It's the real deal. But, you know, we are so grateful to have had the opportunity to participate in it. And sometimes you don't know what God's doing until he's already done it. And this has been an opportunity for us to really consider. For me, I grew up in a Baptist church, but I didn't realize why I was a Baptist, or why I even went to a Baptist church. So it causes you to consider, you know, why you believe. You begin to build on those foundations and really understand why you believe what you believe and why you're involved in what you're involved in. So it has been a real blessing for us. It's been a wild ride, but we would definitely do it all over again. So thank you.
All right. Well, it's kind of neat. We just wanted to give you the opportunity to hear from some of your brothers and sisters in Christ. So again, if you'll, as Pastor Jeff makes his way on up here, he's going to take us into the next section. But just let all those folks know you appreciate them and thankful for the testimonies tonight. All right. Pastor Jeff, take it away.
All right, church. Once again, I hope you guys enjoy the testimonies. I think it's good sometimes for the church to hear all the many things that are taking place. I know sometimes you guys come in here on Sunday and you see the guys that are preparing the music, you hear the teaching, the word, you go to John City Campus. But sort of behind the scenes, we are literally being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, both here in this church and out in the community. So I think it's a great opportunity for you guys to enjoy that, to celebrate that, just to have real people sharing real testimonies about what's taking place in their life. What we wanted to do now is I want to transition you guys to a time of prayer. I think when we talk about global outreach here at Tri-Cities, when we talk about taking the gospel out to the nations and to our neighbors and to where we work and to our schools, I think we want to back up sometimes and not get ahead of ourselves and really spend some time in focused prayer. And we don't want it to be something that, well, we're at church, okay, let's pray. Okay, we pray for lost people, now let's go home. I think we want God to grab hold of our soul. We want to, you know, it says in Scripture that Jesus wept, for example. He wept when he found out and he went to Lazarus' grave. Jesus wept. We know in Scripture that Jesus had compassion. He looked at people and he cared about them. 2 weeks ago on Sunday, we heard about the rich young ruler. And it says in Scripture that Jesus looked at him and he loved him. It's interesting because the rich young ruler rejected Christ. He turned away and said, I can't follow you. So as a church, I want us to weep for people. I want us to have compassion for people. I want us to love people and care about them. So I'm going to share some scripture with you out of 2 Corinthians, and then I'm going to ask us to get into a time or a season of prayer. And what we'll do is if you're with family, you guys can huddle up and pray together. If you're with somebody that you don't know, you can pray with them. You can pray by yourself. The altar up here is open. I encourage you guys to come forward. But this is a time where we're just going to bare our soul to God, and we're gonna cry out to Him. And with Easter coming really 1 week away now, we can think of opportunities to invite people to share the gospel with them and to pray for them. Pray that they will turn from their rebellion and their sin and turn to God. And we do that through faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. And next Sunday, they will clearly hear that message. They will hear the gospel. So let me share with you some scripture. And I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to start in verse 1 and read through about verse 6. It says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Paul here is speaking about the ministry of the new covenant, or the ministry of the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. He says, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to only those who are perishing. In their case, the God of the world has blinded their minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. With ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let the light shine out of the darkness, has shown into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So Paul's charging the church here, and really charging us that people don't know Jesus. It says the gospel is veiled to them. Sometimes the Bible would say they're blind or they're in darkness. And so we want to pray tonight for people's eyes to be open to the truth, that the light of the gospel coming from the church will shine to them, that as we proclaim the gospel to people, as we preach scripture, that Jesus will reveal truth to them. He'll awaken their hearts and stir them. That's what the Bible talks about. So what I want you guys to do now is kind of close your eyes. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. You guys can come up here if you want. You can stay in your seats. But I want you just to sort of get in a posture of prayer. And here's what I want to do is you guys just close your eyes. I want you to think about, maybe not in the general sense of just those people, or, I don't know, those people that don't go to church, or those lost people, or people that need to hear about Jesus. I want you right now to pray for the Holy Spirit to give you names of people today that need to hear about Jesus. It could be somebody in your family. It could be someone that you work with. It could be someone that you go to school with. But I want you to think of somebody that you know that doesn't know about Jesus. And I want you to pray for them. I want you to beg God to have mercy on their soul. I want you to pray that they would see the light of the glory of the gospel. And it says in Romans chapter 10 that unless we take that to them, they're not going to hear about it. And that's what the purpose of the church is. So for the next few minutes, we're just going to have a season of prayer. I want you guys to pray about people that you know that need to hear about Jesus. And then pray for boldness that you can share the gospel with them, that you can build a relationship with them, that they can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So you guys spend some time in prayer, and then after that, I'll come back up and I'll close this out, okay? Father, we come to you tonight with humble hearts as we think about really the week we call Passion Week leading up to your crucifixion, burial, and your resurrection from the dead. What an amazing series of events, Father, that we have incredibly great news to share with people, not people that need to hear a story of hope, people that need to hear a story that knows there's rescue, there's redemption, there's a plan, there's a Savior. And Father, I pray right now as our church is praying over maybe hundreds or thousands of names that the Holy Spirit has brought to their mind. It can be a husband or wife. It can be a child. It can be somebody they work with every day. It can be somebody they go to school with and somebody they see at a restaurant or at a coffee place or at the gas station. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would create opportunities for us, for the church, for the people of your church to share Jesus with them. Father, I pray that we are bold, that we are not timid, that we're not scared, that we're not worrisome, that we're not fearful, that we love people so much that we want to share the good news with them. God, just give us boldness. Sometimes it's hard. Father, I know that sometimes they're going to ask questions maybe we can't answer, or maybe they just had incredibly, incredibly difficult circumstances in their life. Father, I pray for a boldness for this church, for Tri-Cities, that we've never had before. To take the gospel message to the Tri-Cities, to our country, and around the world. Father, I pray, like Jesus, that we would have compassion on people. Father, that we don't see them as just a project or a potential convert or somebody else to come to our church. We see them as somebody that was created in your image. They are image bearers. But somehow through sin and rebellion, that image has been broken and shattered and distorted by sin. But Father, we know you can rescue them and you can restore them and you can make them whole again. And only you can do that through Christ. So Father, I pray as Jesus said in Scripture, I pray that you are the Lord of the harvest, and I pray that you as the Lord of the harvest would send your workers out into the fields, because the fields are ripe for harvest. There are people that need to hear the gospel. And you've chosen the church, your people, and even this people called Tri-Cities as your plan, as your mission to share the gospel to a world that desperately hears it. Father, may we reflect your light to others. Father, we're just vessels. We're just cracked pots of clay, and may your light shine through us to other people. So, Father, I pray the next week for supernatural conversations need to happen. I pray for opportunities to share the gospel, to tell people why we celebrate Easter, why that's such a big deal, and to have the opportunity to invite them to come here next Sunday and to worship you and to be with us and to hear the gospel sung and preached. So, Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you for this opportunity to pray for people. May we be faithful to that. May we have a harvest of souls. May we see baptisms like we've never seen before. May we see lives change like we've never seen lives change before. May we see people turn from their rebellion and turn from their sin and their brokenness and see them healed in the only ways that you can heal them, Father. And we thank you for that. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to go before us and to stir hearts. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll turn it over to Pastor Daniel now for you guys. Thanks.
Well, I'm going to start wearing Kevlar to the family meetings. I mean, David, where are you at? I would be offended if I didn't just agree with you completely. I might even have a little bit of a man crush on Derek Sherfy myself. So he is doing an amazing job at our Johnson City campus. And one of the things that we should be able to do as God's children is to be able to celebrate the things that matter, the things that are missional, and know them from the things that really don't, the things that are our preferences or our cultures. And I am thankful that I get to be part of a church where God's revelation, truth, scripture, is the source for our teaching, for our music, for our counseling, for our conversations and fellowship. I don't know that it really matters to me much, or should matter to me very much, the style about which we go about that stuff. But I am thankful because all around the world there are churches that gather, and the Word of God is not their source. It's something else. And that just doesn't make sense to me. And I am thankful that we've got guys like Derek Sherfy and Mike Lauren who preach and teach us that truth and help us know the difference between the things that are really primary, the things that matter, and the things that just don't. And I want you to know, if you ever get those mixed up, I want you to understand, it happens to all of us at times, but I want you to understand the severity of that. That is called an idol. It's just an idol. By the way, none of this is on my agenda. The people who know the plan are going, what on earth is he talking about? But I'm here now, and I've got a mic, so we're just going to keep chasing. That's called an idol. So let me give you an example, and it's just one that we all feel because we all know music. It's special to all of us. So if I make the statement, I cannot worship in that style, or I have to have this to really be able to worship, you are taking God from the object of your worship, absolute, and you're dictating it to a style. And in that very moment, you're saying the style is needed to worship. That's an idol. To know the difference between the God and the creator and sustainer of all life and a style or a preference. I'm so glad I'm at a church that holds up the Word of God as true and teaches and sings and counsels by it. That is all the difference in the world. And so I agree. I just agree. I love it when I get to hear Derek preach. I want to remind you guys of a few exciting things that are happening in our next gen ministry, particularly our kids ministry, our preschool, and our kids. I want to let you guys know a few things that are coming up and kind of just give you a broader view of what you can look forward to. First, I want you to know Easter is approaching. And not only is Easter a big deal for us as adults, and it gives us the opportunity to tell people why Easter is important to us. And again, you hear me say this all the time, get used to me saying it. You can't tell someone why Easter is important to you as a believer without explaining the resurrection. And it's really, really difficult to explain the resurrection and not articulate the gospel. And so as we have that opportunity, there will be families with kiddos and all those guys running around here Easter morning. And our kids' teams have worked really hard to put together a program to show them and teach them a lesson straight from Scripture that recognizes that Jesus is the only hero. Man, that's an exciting thing and a wonderful opportunity. And we still recognize that most people who come to know Jesus as their Savior do so in those years of childhood and teenage years. So I want to challenge you to do something. As we pray and we continue to pray for those lost people that we would be bold to share the gospel with and that they may come and worship with us and even hear the gospel here, pray for their families. Pray for their kids as well. Pray for what will happen downstairs and upstairs here next week. There will be the gospel presented to young ears. And we know that Jesus loves the children. So pray for them. Next thing I want you to realize, and I want you to know this, and I want you to hear what I'm saying, that ministry to the next generation is not just something that we like wave around as a slogan or just some idea of our church. It's as core to the creation of the church as is evangelism or discipleship. Deuteronomy 6 gives the charge to the whole of Israel to press down the truths of God from one generation to the next. And we do that on a consistent basis here through two really main programs. One is Sunday morning, and the other is on Wednesday night during Awana. You got to hear Brandon talk about Awana. I hope you know that's exciting in those foundational years to know that our kids are getting God's word just ingrained into their way of thinking. That we can claim promises like God's word will never return void. That we understand that there's validity to helping them understand truth. But I want you to know something. Because it is such a large ministry, it's the largest ministry that we have. It involves more volunteers than any other ministry in the church. It is incredibly taxing. And not just taxing to the level that we try to produce the grandest, most efficient programs in the world. We try to be good stewards of coming alongside of parents and helping them minister to their kids. We recognize the parent is the primary discipler. But we want to come alongside of them. We want to give them resources. If you have a preschool or a kid, you know you get those lessons every month. You know what they're every week. You know what they're learning, what they're studying. I told the illustration downstairs, I'll tell you, a few weeks ago I asked Lena, what did you learn in class today? What did you learn in Sunday school at church? And she says, Dad, I learned about Ezekiel. I said, that's awesome. What did you learn? Something about bones. Awesome. I said, well, what did you learn about bones? I don't know. I said, Lena, do you know what bones are? Nope. I said, do you have them? Nope. I said, how does your body stay together? What holds your body together? And she goes, tape. But the point is, even if I had no clue what she was talking about as a three-year-old, you know, I get those lessons. As a father, I'm equipped to have those conversations. We do that. What I need you to understand is there are adults who work so diligently and hard to come alongside of us as parents to minister to our kids. And we need you to help them. We just need you to help them. Again, we're not trying to run the largest program, but can I tell you, there are so many of those adults who we've enabled to be Marthas. And by that I mean just serve and serve and serve. That Sunday morning, they may not even be in a worship service. And frankly, that's unhealthy. They may not even be connected in any of those groups, the blessings that you hear about in our study groups and our life groups. They may not even be there because the reality is they feel the pressure. If I step away from this, who will help? Let's take away those excuses from them. And I mean that very sincerely. Let us swarm them with help. Let us realize that ministering to the next generation was given to the whole of the church. Hear, O Israel, the whole of the nation, the whole of the collection of God's people. We're not asking you to run crazy. We're not asking you to do a lot. We have two things through the week that we come alongside of our kids. Sunday morning and Awana. I want to challenge each of you to begin to prayerfully consider how you can help. That's what I want you to do. Just how can you help? You may be like me. You may not have a clue what to do with a kid. That's me. What I found is they're really hard to, like, break. Catherine, don't look at me like that. I'll call you out. Mm-hmm. Busted. I can see, even with that spotlight. In all seriousness, pray about it. Let us help them. They serve our kids so diligently. I also want you to know, continue to pray in our kids' ministry and for us as elders as we continue to search for a kids' pastor. That search is ongoing. I can just tell you it's hard. It's just hard. It's a hard thing to find, and we are prayerfully trying to wade through all those different options and find the person who is best fitting for us in the long term. I'll be honest with you. Right now, our leadership teams are doing such an amazing job. I'm so proud of them. And remember this, church, that you, the body, are the ones who do the work of the ministry. The pastors, the teachers, the leaders of a church, Ephesians 4, they equip the saints, all of us, for the work of ministry. So, in the meantime, help them and pray for us as we look ahead to some exciting opportunities with Easter, our regular opportunities with Awana Sunday morning. And then we got something called Vacation Bible School happening this summer that's a big deal too. If you, in your prayers and in your consideration, would be willing to serve, reach out to, let me give you three names. Karen Cabanis, Holly Davis, those two people, they're on our website. You can email them. If you have any questions about getting involved with our kids or our preschool team, email them and they'll help you, help equip you along. And I also want to make sure you recognize Brandon Van Huss, who's a volunteer, who leads and heads up our Awana ministry. They make it work, but they need help as well. Reach out to those people. If you don't know Brandon, again, reach out to Holly or Karen. They'll connect you. But all that stuff's on our website. Go to them as you are led. All right. Also want to talk to you about our communication. We're here in the family meeting, and Mike gave us a great opening thought along the lines of communication. I want us to identify a reality. Mike Lauren cannot come to each of your houses and tell you everything that is happening in the life of our church. I know, wouldn't it be cool? But it just can't happen. There's 1,000 of us, there's one of him, and even if he went to 2 a day, it's going to take him, you know, every other year he'll come for a visit. That just will not work. I want you to know, if you're a church of maybe 400 people, maybe you can get by with a pastor standing at the end of the service and telling you everything that's going to happen over the next week or two in the body of a church. Can I just tell you, there is way more happening than we can just stand up and say at the end of a service. We just can't. There's too much going on. And I want to be real honest, and I want to let you know, I think we might have a bit of a hurdle to overcome as a church. Maybe a little bit of a weakness. And that weakness is found in some conversations I've had over the last few months. And they go something like this. Someone comes up to me and says, "Joe, I didn't know anything about this. I just didn't know. Nobody told me. How am I supposed to know this kind of stuff? No one told me." You know, we got to work on our communication. And a lot of times it's good people, love the Lord, love our church with us, just don't know. And I said, well, sure, let me go back and look. And then I go into Dustin's office over here, and I'm like, "Dustin, what's going on, man? They don't know." And it's Dustin's job to make sure that they know. So Dustin gets on his little, you know, his computer, and he pulls up and says, "Look." He goes, "The last 3 weeks, it's been in our worship folder, our bulletin, or our weekly newsletter," or whatever we're calling it at that moment. We've changed it a little bit, part of that process of change. "But it's in our weekly newsletter, 3 weeks in a row. It's been on the slides the last 2 Sundays before the church. It was in one of the TVs downstairs. It's been in the last 3 e-letters, and it's gone out 31 times on Twitter and Facebook. It's even in our monthly printed newsletter downstairs for those people who don't have internet access. And there's a link to it on the app." And I'm just like, "Okay. So is that it?" And he goes, "Well, actually, Mike also mentioned it in our e-video." He goes, "What, do you want me to put it in the letter from the elders too?" Now, here's the thing. You ought to laugh at that with me just a little. Because what that communicates is a little bit of our problem. It's not that the information's not out there, and it's not that you can't get to it. It's that we, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, we sometimes don't see ourselves as partners. Sometimes we see ourselves as customers. There is the expectation that the church is an organization, and it's our responsibility to get you the information when you want it, how you want it, delivered to whatever tone that would be best fitting for you. Guys, we cannot grow with that thought. It's just an impossible style of communication. What we need to happen is for you to begin to partner with us, for you to begin to recognize this is your church. There is no us and them. There is no the organization speaking down to the individual. We are the collection of us, the church. And that you need to be diligent enough to figure out those platforms of communication that work for you. And that you need to get on MyHub and know what's going on with your groups and on those calendars. That you need to pay attention and actually listen to the e-video of Mike because he's not trying to waste your time. That when we write that weekly e-letter, you read it. That you, whether you have an app on your phone or you're picking up the printed copy of the monthly newsletter, that you are doing your part to stay informed and know what's going on. We desperately need you to begin to think of us as a partner. Think of yourself connected. The platforms are there. They're just there. The information is there. Sometimes we mess up and we miss something, but it's not very often. Most of the time, we're just not paying attention. And I'm saying that because that's what I do too. I'm pleading with you. Begin to use those platforms. Know what's going on in the church. And I'm going to explain to you why, and then I'm going to give you all those platforms really quickly. Here's why. We, as a church, your elders are making a decision. Now, I'm speaking for them. They're like, what decision are we making? But there is a prioritization of what we weight before you. In other words, what we give emphasis. So when we get up, we want you to hear us talking about the Easter tips, for example, to tell, to invite, to pray, to serve, those kinds of things. We want you to hear that type of information. That is missional information. We want you to know that there are people who are being baptized, making professions of faith. These are the kinds of things that we want to communicate and weight to the whole group. Meanwhile, in a church of 1,000 people, there are so many opportunities for the individual, for those of us who have unique passions. And maybe that passion is supplying a specific need for a specific demographic. But there are literally hundreds of those. We can't just get up at the end of a service or take time in the Sunday morning or fit all that in a worship folder, regardless how big we would make it. But we can communicate the things that are primary, the missional things. And we can make sure the individual information is available so that you, when you read it, when you go through that e-letter, when you go through MyHub, when you look at all that information, all those platforms, you're beginning to see and you can say, here's the specific need. This is something that I'm passionate about and you can jump on. But it only works if you're reading it. And I'm speaking to the choir because, by the way, a family meeting is one of those platforms and you're here. So go back into your groups, go back into those relationships and begin to ask, hey, did you listen to Mike on the e-video this week? Did you read David Brewer's letter from the elders this week? Did you hear that? Did you see the testimony from that person who came back from the Nicaragua trip on the e-letter? Did you see the notes that Mike didn't cover in the sermon that are available on the app or on the website? Begin to have conversations around those things. Those platforms multiply us. Here they are, real quick. There is a website, obviously, tcbchurch.org. There is a mobile app to that website. It's on Android, Mac, and Windows software. Whatever you got, it's there. Just out of curiosity, how many of you in this room have a smartphone? That is the vast majority. MyHub. If you haven't got a picture in MyHub, put that picture in MyHub. It's awesome for those people in the groups to be able to see you. But from MyHub, you can find the people of Tri-Cities. You know the groups that you belong to, your calendars, all those different groups, all that information comes in one spot. If you want to sync it to your iCalendar or to your Google Calendar, whatever kind of calendar you keep, you can do it. So you can see the very specific things that are there for you. So there's a whole online community through MyHub. There's a e-letter or an e-video that goes out every week. Their social media feeds, do you realize every day there's a minimum of 3 posts that go out on Facebook or Twitter? We have an Instagram account where you see our pictures. You get to see things like our people being baptized. All that fun stuff is there as well. There's weekly a Sunday newsletter that you can pick up or download on your app. There are media slides before the service up here, out there. There's a letter from one of our elders every month or every week. And every month there's a newsletter that's put downstairs for those few people who have no internet access. And if you're one of these people, here's what I'm trying to say. If you're one of these people who say, well, I've got the internet, but I don't check my email. Check it! That's what I'm trying to tell you. The point is, stop thinking of yourself as, again, the customer and feel a partner in what's going on. If you worked at a place and they sent you an email, they wouldn't let you just say, I don't check my email. That doesn't work. Check it. Do those things. Learn those things. Call us. Call Dustin. If you say, hey, I've never been on Facebook in my life, but I want to be on Facebook so I get the church stuff, he will teach you how to Facebook. It'll be amazing. Two other things I want you to know. These are more reserved, and I want you to hear this. These are more reserved. What does that mean, reserved? It means we, as leadership, reserve 2 platforms a little bit more. They're harder to just get information. We'll send out almost everything on those other platforms. But the things we announce in church and the things that we push through our groups bring a level of, if you will, a level of weight that we only try to reserve for the things that are absolutely primary to the mission of the church. It's what we're trying to do. But for that to work, you've got to partner with us in the communication. So all those platforms are available. There's little cards outside that explain to you where it is. But reach out to us. Please begin to see yourself as a partner in that. All right, one other quick announcement, and then I'm finished. I want to let you guys know that in an effort to be more streamlined and better stewards, we're making some changes to our current office hours. Currently, the office is open from 8 a.m. to noon on Fridays. From 8 a.m. to noon on Fridays. But beginning May the 9th, the office will no longer be open these 4 hours on Friday. Also, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, currently today, the office is open at 8 a.m. That's when the office opens. At that same time, the office will begin to open those days at 9 a.m., so an hour later. These are minor changes that primarily only affect our admin and support level employees who are here at the church, and those who might drop in to the office during that time, which I can just tell you, as culture changes, that is extremely, extremely rare. And the days of text message and cell phones and emails, our pastors and we're meeting with people all over the place at all times, at all hours. But very, very seldom does someone just show up to the church office, especially at 8 a.m. or especially on the Friday morning. So all of our pastors and our salary employees, they'll continue to work the same hours, same schedule, no changes there. But just in terms of the office and those admin roles, you'll see those changes. Also want to make sure you understand one other thing that's really important to this, something I want to invite you to. Every Tuesday morning, and this will continue, at 8 a.m., right over here in the outpost, the staff and as many of our church that we can get to come pray with us, we pray. You know, we have the Get Connected cards that we fill out our prayer requests. Different people, we get together every Tuesday at 8 a.m. and we pray. You are always welcomed and encouraged to come pray with us. It is not, again, an us and a them. It is our body coming together to pray for one another. So we'll still continue to open on 8 a.m. Tuesday. We'll be right over there in the outposts to pray for our church. Always, always. If you're available 8 a.m. Tuesday, come pray with us. We normally there about an hour, 8 a.m. on Tuesday. Okay? Got it? Awesome. Mike?
Let me update you on one more thing, and then Pastor Gene's going to come, and we're going to conclude with our deacon celebration tonight. Let me just give you a financial update. We hope to do that at every family meeting because it's us. This is the family. Sometimes my family has to sit down and look at our budget, look at our spending, look what we're bringing in, what we're spending. Let me just tell you right now, you need to know, as a church, the budget we've agreed to, there is a weekly need for all the ministries that go on here and to the ends of the earth through Tri-Cities of $44,700. That's what we need weekly to make budget. Currently, even though March was a very good month, you were very generous in the month of March, and thank you for that. Our weekly average at this point in 2014 is $41,300. That's a shortfall of over $3,000 every week. And what that means is this year we are still in the negative of $46,000 or so. Now, I say that knowing we're going into the summer months. That's usually the least generous time as we go different places and are involved in different things. But I wanted you as a church to know that. When we're short in our budget, that means some tough decisions have to be made that we together own. So I'm sharing that so you'll know that. So we can own that together, and before the Lord, we can continue to give generously through this local church so we can carry out what God is calling us to do, okay? All right, well, we're going to enter into a really fun time of celebrating what God has been doing in the life of our church in the area of deacons. We believe in the biblical office of deacons in the church. There are two ordained and recognized offices, the office of elder, pastor, and the office of deacon. And for the last few months, all of us have been involved in a process of submitting names, of praying. Your elders have gone through many names, many interviews. And tonight, boy, it is a joy to present to you and ordain and recognize our 9 new deacons in the life of Tri-Cities Baptist Church. Care and meeting needs in the life of a church is vital. Now, we believe that the primary place that you're going to be cared for is in your groups. In your life groups, where you're connected and you're cared for and people are involved in your lives. But we have built this structure of deacons almost like a safety net. We know everybody's not in a group. We know life groups and study groups can't meet every need. So we've built this structure of our deacon ministry as almost a safety net so that no one falls through the cracks. And our desire is that no one is not being cared for. So at this time, I'm going to ask, if they will, our current elders to come on down, and we have 9 chairs where our deacons are going to sit in just a moment. So current elders, and then also our 2 current serving deacons, who are Sean Harris and Mike Perry. If you guys will come on down and just kind of stand behind these chairs, and then Pastor Gene, I'm going to recognize you and ask you to take it from here. And Pastor Gene has been leading us through this in an incredible way, so I'm going to turn it over to him.
All right, very good. Each one of our elders and deacons are going to take a seat at random here. And in a moment, we're going to have our deacon candidates come forward as well. We have the great privilege of having 9 godly men who have been recognized by you, the church. And their names were submitted to us. And we have gone through a vetting process, and prayerfully so. And tonight we want to present those men to you. And I want you to know that each of these men have distinguished themselves already as servants. The word diaconus, which we get the word deacon from, is generally translated throughout the New Testament as servant or as minister. And what that means is they are servants of God. They are ministers of God. And as we have looked across the board at each of these men, they are already currently serving the church in a variety of ways. So really what we're doing tonight, in essence, is we are officially recognizing publicly what these men already are privately. They are deacons. And so I want to call these names, and as I call your names, men, just come here and take one of these seats at random, okay? So first, Mike Kanzler. And David Henderson, who you met earlier, is part of our Johnson City campus. Troy Nave, Greg Oliphant, Eric Porter, Kevin Sheffield, Dustin Tremaine, Brandon Van Hus, again, who you met earlier, and Mark Williams. Gentlemen, you come and take a seat here. Now, first of all, what I want to do is, again, just on behalf of our elders is thank you for your involvement in this process. By recognizing these men and submitting their names to us, it enabled us then to identify these men for this this position of service within our church. Each man has agreed to serve in the body of Christ here at Tri-Cities Baptist Church. As Pastor mentioned, it's kind of a safety net in basically three areas. One, financial. They will come alongside our benevolence team on occasion as they are needed. For those who may be on hard times and may be having some needs financially, they are serving in the area of physical needs. For instance, we may have a widow, or we may have a single mom, or an elderly couple in our church that they've got a water heater that's going out, going bad on them, or a car problems like brakes on a car or something like that. And these guys are going to come alongside and help with those physical needs. Perhaps maybe they're short on resources or whatever. We can come and we can help out in those physical needs. And then also in caring needs, the more emotional type needs where you can comfort those who are ill or who are facing surgery or at the hospital or who are experiencing bereavement over the loss of a loved one. And our deacons can get involved in that respect as well. Now, as Pastor mentioned, our groups are really going to be the first line of defense when it comes to ministering to various people. But we also recognize not everyone in our church has been able to connect with a group for a variety of reasons. And so our deacons want to be there to capture those who maybe aren't connected to a small group yet in some form or fashion. And no doubt there will be times when there will be overlap where our groups are working in conjunction with our deacons to minister to particular needs that exist within the body of Christ here. And so at this point, if you are willing to right now join me and join us in affirming these men to serve as deacons, I'd like to ask you if you would do that by a show of hands and also saying a hearty amen. Would you do that?
Amen.
That wasn't a hearty amen. Come on. Let's try that one more time, all right? If you affirm these men, let's show of hands and say a hearty amen, all right?
Amen.
All right. Much better. Much better. God bless you. All right. Now, for the next few moments, what we are going to do is we're going to enter into a time of prayer. We have some musicians who are going to play softly in the background. Each of our elders or deacons will specifically be in prayer for one of our individual deacons here. And what we would like to ask you to do as we're praying for them individually, we'd like to ask you to join us in a spirit of prayer as well. You see these faces, many of these men you already know, and it could be you individually or you could gather together with someone and pray, but lift up these men before the Lord. Ask God to strengthen them, to empower them, enable them for this task of service to our body at Tri-Cities Baptist Church. And so we'll do that for a few moments as we pray, enter into this time of prayer. And then when we have finished praying individually, I will close this in a word of prayer. And I will say that when we close the service in just a few moments from now, these men are going to remain up here. And we would like to invite you then to come and to greet them personally and express your gratitude to the Lord for them. All right? gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening and as we recognize these men, Father, may we recognize within them the heart of Christ, who did not come to be served, but who came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Father, we're so grateful for the quality of men that you have given us in our church. Men who love you, who love this church, who love the body of Christ, and who desire to have their lives impact their world for Christ's sake. Father, thank you for their willingness to sacrifice, to give up their time and their energy and their service. Father, we lift them up before you. We ask, Lord, that you would guard and protect their families, that, Father, you would help them to navigate the various needs of the church and the needs of their families, Lord, that neither would be neglected, Father, that you would enable them through your strength, through your wisdom, through your grace, to be effective in ministry to the church, to the body of Christ, and to their families. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you have blessed us with many, many people who love you and are committed to the body of Christ here at Tri-Cities Baptist Church. And Lord, we ask that, Father, you would grant us the ability to be aware of, to recognize the needs that exist within our body, and to reach out and to minister your grace in effective ways, Father, so that all the body is whole and complete. We pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, church. Well, this is something to celebrate. So let me ask you for just a second to just praise the Lord for this faithfulness and how he's provided men in the life of our church. All right? All right, here's what we're going to do as we close. I'm going to ask these men to remain down here. I'm going to ask our elders to remain down here as well. So when we close, you'll be able to come down and talk to them, ask any questions, encourage them. But I'm going to ask one other group as we close to join them down front as well. So there'll be a mob of people down here, but well, that's fine. But this morning, we recognized somewhere around 50 new members to our church. Incredibly thankful for that. Many of those are here tonight. So when I pray, in just a second, and we dismiss, I'll ask you, if you're a new member, you kind of precede the crowd and come down here and just kind of stand down the front and let our church family come and embrace you and welcome you. And I want you, our church family, to meet your newest church members as well. So I'm going to pray, all right? And while I'm praying, you new members, you just get ready, and then you'll head on down here. And then when we dismiss, church, got a lot of people here to greet, little people to love on, and let's just hang out together as long as we can as the body of Christ. All right, great night. Thank you for being here. Let me pray and we'll close. Lord, thank you for a great night. Lord, thank you for a great church that we get to be a part of. Thank you how we've heard your activity. We've seen your hand. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for the body of Christ. And it's in Jesus' great and awesome and mighty name. All of God's people said together, amen. Thank you. We are dismissed. New members, come on down front.